This is a recording for Elementia on Thursday, October 26, 2017, at 9 a.m. Central Time. Good morning. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Elementia's earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Ana Lourdes Benavides, Elementia's Investor Relations Officer. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good morning and welcome to Elementia's third quarter 2017 earnings conference call. On the call with me are Fernando Ruiz Dax, Chief Executive Officer, and Juan Francisco Sanchez Gamez, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised that this call is for investors and analysts only. During this call, we will be discussing Elementia's performance after the earnings release issued yesterday after the close. If you did not receive the report, it is available on our website at www.elementia.com within the Investor Relations section. Let me remind you that forward-looking statements discussed today are based on current expectations and are subject to certain risks and uncertainties. Actual results could differ because of factors mentioned in the earnings release, in today's call, and in the risk factor section of the report files with the Mexican Stock Exchange. We do not undertake any duty to update any forward-looking statements. For further information, please refer to the disclaimer included in the earnings release. Also, all figures discussed are in Mexican pesos, and quarterly variations are computed against the same quarter of the previous year, while cumulative variations are computed as compared to the same period of the previous year, unless it is otherwise stated. Today's call is being webcast live and recorded. You can replay today's call and review its corresponding transcript on our Investor Relations website. After all this, it is now my pleasure to introduce Fernando Ruiz Dax, our Chief Executive Officer, who will cover the main highlights of the quarter and provide a brief strategic overview. Fernando, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Ana. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us today. Before I begin, I would like to express my heartfelt condolences and express Elementia solidarity with all the families and citizens which have been affected by the devastating earthquakes and hurricanes that have recently impacted our beloved Mexico, the U.S., and the Caribbean. We at Elementia stand together with you and the affected community so that we can overcome these disasters. These events affected all in one way or another, and throughout my remarks, I will go over how these events impacted each division. However, it comforts me to say that our Elementia family is safe thanks to our team's effective and fast collaboration efforts in ensuring everyone's safety. As we have mentioned on different occasions, the well-being and safety of our people always comes first, which is why we did not hesitate when we had to make the decision of temporarily closing our headquarters in Vallejo to make necessary repairs. By the third day after the earthquake, we were already operating from our new premises, demonstrating our team's execution capacity as well as our commitment to our people and the continuity of operations. Along this, our changes to our philosophy, which fosters more open spaces that facilitate teamwork and communication between different areas, but more importantly, a more dynamic and interactive organization that translates into more agile decision-making processes in an era where speed and change are the names of the game. Moving on to more upbeat news, I am proud to say that we continue to evolve and coming much closer to what we have defined as our long-term vision and corporate strategy called the Power of Oneness. In September, we celebrated the groundbreaking ceremony of our new $17 million grinding facility in Costa Rica. The development and rationale behind this project comes in line with two main fundamentals announced since our IPO, which are, one, expanding our cement division within the countries in which we currently operate, and two, fostering synergies between our three divisions, building systems, cement, and metals. The facility is expected to start operations in the first half of 2018 and will have an installed capacity of over 250,000 tons, allowing us to supply the main raw material used by our Pison brand in Costa Rica to produce fiber cement products. As I mentioned before, the rationale behind this project is the expected synergy through vertical integration among our cement and building systems division operating under our arm's length policy. I would like to add that part of the production will be commercialized in Costa Rica, as we believe we have great market opportunities in this region. Now, let me jump over our operating performance. As expected, this quarter we delivered a close to 40% growth in EBITDA, mainly driven by Giant's integration into the company, posting low double-digit growth on a pro forma basis. This, along with the extraordinary performance of our cement division in Mexico and building systems, while metal products faced some temporary challenges. I believe it's worth mentioning that this was achieved despite the difficult conditions originated from hurricanes, flooding, and earthquakes, and the economic slowdown in Central and South America. I'm very proud of the progress, particularly of the strength and resilience that the three divisions have shown under these challenging times. Now, let's move on to the progress made this quarter by division, starting with cement. It pleases me to share with you that in Mexico's operations, we delivered another consecutive quarter of strong results. Both revenues and EBITDA significantly grew by more than 50% compared to the third quarter of 2016, largely due to continuous operations of the cement capacity expansion in Tula, despite increasing energy costs. Tula's ramp-up has been, I can say without hesitation, just outstanding, putting us squarely on track to continue delivering the goals set over the two years ago during our IPO. Our strategy of preparing the market during the first half of the year has been key to its success. In fact, results have been even better than anticipated due to the preference our Fortaleza brand has enjoyed based on superior quality, and despite having slow months due to the rainy season and hurricanes, a challenging September as kids return to school, and to a lesser extent, as Mexico City is not a priority market for the cement for us, to earthquakes impacting the central and southeastern regions of Mexico. I would also like to point out that our EBITDA margin has been affected during the year as we were preparing the market and therefore started grinding operations using third-party clinker. The good news is that starting September, we stopped buying clinker from third parties, which resulted in a 48% EBITDA margin in the cement Mexico operations. We believe last quarter, that is the second quarter of 2017, was our lowest point in terms of EBITDA margin for this segment. And if energy prices remain relatively stable, we would expect similar results for the fourth quarter. In terms of prices, these have been very similar to those of the second quarter. However, compared to the third quarter of 2016, prices posted a double-digit increase. In that sense, and because of current market dynamics, we find it hard to have another price hike for the remainder of the year. Now going to U.S. cement operations, Giant registered 8% growth year over year in terms of volume sold, however, with lower EBITDA. Our production volume was mainly affected by Hurricane Irma, specifically in South Carolina. Fortunately, the facility was not damaged. However, operations were placed on hold as the facility was evacuated for safety purposes. I cannot express enough that our people's safety always comes first. Pennsylvania operations were not affected by the weather conditions. However, necessary maintenance works and shutdowns led to lower production. On the other hand, our main facilities were stable. Regarding the integration plan, we have achieved great progress in terms of covering some of the key positions that have been vacant in an effort to cut costs before the acquisition. Moreover, we have made significant progress in the standardization of product quality, one of the competitive advantages that sets us apart. U.S. Cement EBITDA was down 18% year over year and 10% in dollar terms, mainly due to higher coal prices in the operations of Pennsylvania and the implementation of the maintenance program to bring assets back to industry standards, which continuously interrupt operations. This may or may not sound repetitive, but I strongly believe it is important to emphasize that 2017 is a transition year, meaning that the fourth quarter comes with additional scheduled maintenance interruptions, which, as I just mentioned, are part of the $30 million CapEx plus OpEx plan to bring Giant's assets back to par, enabling us to deliver a better offer to the market by increasing reliability and quality. Having said that, I would like to take an opportunity of this call to mention that seasonality is expected to begin in the next quarter, and that major annual maintenance works are scheduled for the first quarter of 2018, when demand is lower and which could potentially affect sales. Finally, I would like to reiterate that we expect to show steady improvements in results as equipment is revamped and opportunities identified in the go-to-market projects developed along with the due diligence are captured. Moving on to the metal products division, it registered a 27% decrease in EBITDA, mainly due to the next three factors. First, while our facilities did not suffer major damages from the earthquake, we were forced to basically interrupt operations for about a week in the Vallejo plant due to minor gas and water leakages, which resulted in lower sales volume. At this time, they continue to operate normally. Second, as probably most of you know, Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria strongly affected the Caribbean, which is one of our regular sales points. Therefore, during September and throughout October, our sales were impacted because of the devastating disasters. Nevertheless, we expect sales to start normalizing by November of this year. Last, EBITDA was also impacted by a close to 35% increase in electricity and natural gas prices, the appreciation of the peso against the U.S. dollar, which had a negative effect on inventory valuation, and the volatility in prices of copper that negatively impacted demand during the quarter. The external factors affecting our results during the quarter were partially offset by improved metal yields and the division focus on higher value products. While most of the negative impact on our EBITDA was a result of external factors to the company, we remain committed to creating value for our shareholders. Hence, we continue working on ways to shorten the conversion cycle and improving metal yields. Moreover, we believe demand from the oil and gas industry could potentially pick up in the upcoming months due to Hurricane Harvey's impact in the facilities of this sector that are in the Texas area. Turning now finally to the Building Systems Division, the division's growth and recovery at a consolidated level continues to be supported by the successful results of the go-to-market strategy aimed at increasing coverage in the U.S. and in Mexico, and on focusing on flat panels for lightweight construction systems, offering new products and technologies that reduce product breakage, representing great advantage to both our distributors and final users. However, due to the geographical diversity of this business, we have posted mixed results. Having said that, on a consolidated basis, we delivered a 25% increase in EBITDA year over year, largely largely driven by the strong performance in the U.S. and a solid turnaround in Mexico, despite softer sales in response to a decrease in pricing. Going further in depth by region, in the U.S., what we see is that the market continues to grow, but not as fast as it was, much in line with housing starts and permits indicators. Yet, clients have been very accepting of our value proposition. Also, the go-to-market strategy continues to work very well. In that sense, the step we took with Big Builders is still yielding positive results. Due to this strategy great success, we plan to continue implementing until reaching our next milestone of our overall strategy. Our plans to reopen the Indiana facility remain on time and schedule, and we continue shipping products from our other facilities to the Indiana region so that when the facility reinitiates operations, it will be partially allocated. As expected, this has affected our operating margins once again due to the extended logistics and pre-operational expenses. Nevertheless, this is an investment worth making, as we expect to have similar results to those obtained in preparing the two upland markets in the cement division. In Mexico, operations have been positive despite the headwinds resulting from challenging weather conditions, mainly in the southeast region of the country, and market partial slowdown in the aftermath of the September earthquake. Our go-to-market strategy, focused on distributors and direct clients, continues bearing fruit, reporting incremental volume of approximately 50%, offsetting the lack of government projects. We see good opportunities to improve even more our results in the following months through cost optimization, product breakage control, and price improvement. Moreover, we expect significant post-earthquake reconstruction work in Mexico, specifically in Chiapas and in Oaxaca, by the first half of 2018, and we are ready to supply all those in need. In Central America, operations remain stable despite challenging weather conditions that delay construction work, driven by continued market share gains in the Caribbean and Panama. We have also recently begun roto-molding operations, which are performing according to plan. In the Andean region, we reported mixed results. Overall volumes remain stable, yet prices stay flat due to the region's current economic environment. First, Colombia continues to face economic challenges derived from the increase in the value-added tax, bank interest rates, and the lack of government support for housing projects. We expect this trend to continue for the remainder of the year and probably the first half of 2018, despite interest rates starting to decrease and reactivation of certain government housing support. Nevertheless, we remain proactive against this situation, and in an effort to offset Colombia's unfavorable scenario, we have taken actions into matters including plant optimization and operating efficiency. Also, on the upside, as you remember, we have just doubled the water tanks installed capacity, which has great acceptance in the region. This new capacity is getting closer to 50% utilization rate. We have huge expectations for the segment. Similar to Colombia, Bolivia's economy continues to be quite slow, while Ecuador and Peru remain stable as there is high product demand due to the floods and construction projects following the devastating earthquake that took place last year. We believe this trend will continue in the fourth quarter. Towards year-end, we foresee a slight overall slowdown for building systems due to the expected seasonality during the holiday season. As you can see, we continue shifting from being a company with three divisions into a more integrated one that will be able to deliver high-quality products and solutions for both the traditional building as well as for more industrialized and sustainable building systems. I will turn now the call over to Juan Francisco Sánchez Kramer, our CFO, for further details on our financials. Juan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando, and thank you everyone for your time and interest in Elementia. Going straight to the company's performance, I believe we can all agree that the third quarter turned out to be quite challenging, not only for us, but to many companies and industry sectors in Mexico, Central America, and some parts of the U.S. Our operating and management capabilities were tested by a series of devastating natural phenomena, including, as Fernando mentioned, the earthquake that affected Mexico, and hurricanes that hit Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America, and the U.S. Notwithstanding these events, it is with great pleasure that I say that our management expertise, brand positioning, and results-oriented approach allowed Elementia to continue with its double-digit growth trend in both revenue and EBITDA. Consolidated revenues posted a significant increase of 40% for the quarter, despite facing a prevailing volatile economic environment as an additional challenge. This improvement is once again due to the integration of Giant Cement into Elementia's operation and higher sales prices and volume in the cement and building systems division. These two divisions generated 189% and 14% increase in sales during the first 9 months of the year, respectively. On a pro forma basis, including the U.S. cement operations, consolidated revenues grew by 11% during the quarter and 15% for the 9 months ended in September 30th. Consolidated EBITDA came 39% higher and 11% on a pro forma basis for the quarter, also supported by the cement and building system division, while our EBITDA margin remained at a 20% level. Going further into detail on the performance of each division, even though 2017 is a transitional year for the cement division as a whole, mainly due to Giant's integration and the size of this project in terms of additional CapEx and OPEX, and the startup of the capacity expansion in Mexico, we managed to once again demonstrate that we are making the right decisions with prompting a continued growth trend. In the Mexican operation, as we have previously mentioned, we have to overcome poor conditions stemming from the aforementioned natural disasters, and we believe our team did a great job at it. Revenues surpassed expectations, reaching 1.24 billion, an important jump of 55% from the last year, mainly as a result of increasing volume from the recent cement capacity expansion at the Tula plant and the positive sales price trend. EBITDA was 50% higher year over year, and EBITDA margin reached 48%, helped by operating efficiencies and higher volumes, which offset higher energy and fuel costs. As expected, margins were also benefited by the fact that we stopped buying clinkers from third parties as part of the ramp-up initiative for the capacity expansion, which was taken at the beginning of the year. In this regard, when we released the capacity expansion project, we mentioned that the EBITDA margin will be negatively impacted while we prepare the market for this additional capacity, and that we will probably see these lower margins as we ramp up the facility. I'm pleased to let you know that the second quarter's margin turned out to be its lowest point. The U.S. Cement continues to implement value generation roadmap, which includes CapEx to bring assets back to industry and elemental standards. Apart from what Fernando has already mentioned, I would like to add that we remain focused and that scheduled upgrade works are going according to plan and are being successfully executed. These works, however, do impact our results, since there is additional OPEX and production interruption, which we see as a necessary investment. Keeping in mind that 2017 is a transitional year and that giant turnaround is expected to be gradually seen as 2018 matures and the following years. On top of our continuous maintenance work, operations and therefore results in the U.S. were also affected by Hurricane Irma, and in an effort to reassure everyone's safety, we suspended operations as a precautionary measure due to the heavy rains and winds. On a pro forma basis, the division would be worth 1.18 billion pesos in sales, down 3%. An EBITDA of 192 million pesos, an 18% decrease, mainly due to higher energy costs, as I said. Moving to metal products, the division benefited from its strategic focus on higher value products and greater operation efficiency. However, we continue to face some headwinds this quarter caused by higher energy and gas prices, as well as from a reduction in sales volume mainly caused by the impact of natural disasters in Mexico and the Caribbean, which reduced volume sold and also the effect of the appreciation of Mexican peso against the US dollar on inventory valuation. I would note that this trend was reverted by the end of the quarter as a result of fluctuations in both the copper reference price and the Mexico peso US dollar exchange rate. These factors impacted the EBITDA generation, which was down 27% for the quarter. Finally, onto the building systems, which continue its upturn supported by a go-to-market strategy. This quarter, building systems impressively overcame destructive weather conditions and continued to improve its market performance both in Mexico, the U.S., and Central America. Net sales have a slight decrease of 2%, reaching close to 1.9 billion pesos. Yet EBITDA had a 25% growth and EBITDA margin improved 3 basis points. The division's performance was also a result of customers' high acceptance of our products in the U.S., Mexico, and Central America, helping offset the low demand in the Andean region, specifically in Colombia and Bolivia, due to macroeconomic conditions that have affected domestic consumption in this country. Turning now to balance sheet. In line with Elementia's strategy to have a sound, flexible, and conservative balance sheet that supports our profitable growth plan, during the quarter we signed two credit lines, one with Scotiabank and another with Bancomer, for about 5.5 billion pesos at a very competitive term. Each were used to replace short with long-term debt, releasing more than $200 million of cash flow in the next 3 years when compared to the maturity profile at the end of 2016. In a more recent news, and also supporting the company's strategy, we launched a hedging strategy to protect ourselves from risk in floating interest rates to a fixed rate. And 50% of the loan get from Bancomer, we manage a fixed interest rate of 6.99% in Mexican pesos, which is below set. It is also a balance between variable and fixed interest rates. These measures come in addition to the financial discipline initiatives adopted by Elementia and to the reinforcement of our commitment to maintain a manageable and conservative leverage level to achieve our target in a net debt to EBITDA ratio close to 2 times. Currently, it is 2.99 times. Our debt position totaled 19.44 billion pesos, reflecting the aforementioned financial activities carried out during the quarter, and the impact of the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar exchange rate on the dollar-denominated debt. I would also note that the debt replacement was carried out $1,136. Therefore, by the end of September, our gross debt includes $3.58 billion that were paid a week later. Finally, CAPEX as of September 30 reached 1.86 billion pesos, including among others, the investments done in the U.S. cement and tuba plant expansion in the cement division in Mexico. With this, I conclude my remarks, so I now will ask the operator to open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Pablo Ricalde of Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Juan Francisco. Thanks for the call. I have two questions on the cement division. The first one is on your EBITDA margin reported for the quarter in Mexico. How sustainable is this level? And if we should expect this level around 45% as a new normal? And the second one is on the U.S. operations. I was wondering if you have already sent the letters of price increases for 2018, and in which magnitude are you expecting them to be?
Thank you, Pablo, for your question. I will address your first question first, and I will have to ask you to repeat your second question because I'm not sure that I quite understand. So on margin for cement, the division in Mexico, the main reason that we are improving the margin from what we first believed it was going to be is the price level of the industry. Second, because we have managed to start the ramp up in a better position than what we were expecting. And third, because the efficiencies of the new technology that we implemented is again very satisfactory. By the other hand, we stopped using clinker from third parties since we managed to fulfill all our expectations in terms of volume with our own production. And yes, it is. I mean, you can expect that these margins will prevail. And as I mentioned, the second quarter was the lowest that we now expect. Now, if you could repeat your second question, please.
Yes, my second question was on your U.S. operations on Giant Cement and on your pricing strategy for 2018. I was wondering if you have already sent the letters of price increases to your customers and in which magnitude are you expecting them to be?
Okay. The dynamics of the cement industry in the U.S. are quite different from our building systems business. So in the building systems, we did follow a strategy by sending a letter to our customers or potential customers, but it's not the way that we are doing it in the cement division. Nevertheless, the strategy of recovering lost volume and lost pricing remains. But first of all, we have to deliver confidence to our customers that we are a reliable supplier in terms of volume and quality. That is why we are focusing first on upgrading the assets to industry and elementary standards so we can take the following steps of the strategy.
Okay, helpful.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mauricio Serna with UBS.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on the results. I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about the volumes in Mexico. It seems that you've increased volumes again double digits this quarter. It looks quite impressive when you look at the volume so far of the industry declining 4% in July, August at least. Looking at those numbers, probably September was weak also because of the earthquake. So just want to know, get a grasp on what is the company's strategy in order to have like this apparent market share gains? What is like the price levels compared to the local peers? If you can talk a little bit about that. And also just going a little bit into the cash flow and working capital itself, it seems that, you know, this quarter you invested over 400 million pesos in working capital, but just wanted to get a sense, because you mentioned more something on receivables and inventories, but looking at the payables, that's and also an account where you had substantial a substantial decline. So just want to get a sense on what was the deal behind that, and just get a little bit more clarity on the working capital too. Thank you.
Okay, so for Mauricio, I will address the first question, and I will leave Juan Francisco the second one, and Fernando Ruiz. So regarding our volume in the cement division in Mexico, What I can tell you is that first we had the Tula new line ramp up, no? So there we had an extra capacity. We had been working, and as I stated before, in a strategy of preparing the market for many months. We started 12 months ago to working on this. So basically, we're harvesting what we planted many months ago. And on the other hand, we continue with our top quality product, which is very well accepted in the market, and the people, the end user is asking for our product. So we feel pretty strong about it.
Now getting into the cash flow, and thank you for your question, Alicia. Yes, we did consume some working capital, mainly in receivables and inventory. The main reason affect both, and are, for one, the increase on copper price, of the reference price of copper, and the increase also, or the valuation of peso against dollar. Second, given that the earthquake and hurricanes were on or during September, this affected our volume sold by the end of the quarter. That also impacted our inventory levels and also receivables. Nevertheless, we are following a specific plan to reduce these levels, and we are confident that that you will be able to see the outcome of this plan by the end of the year.
Okay, thank you. Just going back to the question on the volumes and the ramp up of the facility, I just want to get a bit more sense on what is it actually meant when you said that you were like preparing the market for the entry of this new line of the expansion of the plant. Like, what does that actually mean?
Okay, bear in mind that we purchased clinker from third parties. So we were milling it before we started the operations of the Tula facility. So basically, with that additional clinker, we started to prepare our clients, which today we are giving them our product with our current line and not buying clinker from third parties.
Okay, thank you.
Probably
very helpful, and congratulations.
It's also important to mention that, this also reflects the great acceptance that we have had from our product in terms of quality. So the strategy again is taking root. We are very happy with the performance.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Juan Tavares with Citi.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. So my first question is regarding utilization rates in cement, specifically in your U.S. asset. I'm wondering if you can share with us, you know, what are your operating rates today versus what they were last year. I'm curious to see if we started to see an improvement or whether, Your initiatives of upgrading the standards are still delaying some of that utilization improvement there. So if you can give us a color there. And then maybe in Mexico as well, you mentioned that, you know, you've seen better than expected results with the Tula ramp up. How are we there on utilization rates, and could we see this asset reach full capacity sooner than you budgeted? And then secondly, on just market share in fiber cement in the U.S., I'm curious where do we stand there today? And could you remind us again, when do you expect the startup of the U.S. plant? Is that still the first quarter of 2018? And what CapEx number is tied to that? Thanks.
Hi, Juan. Thank you for your question. I will address your first question, and then Fernando will address the second one. In terms of capacity utilization, as you might understand, these are strategic information that we rather not disclose in detail. But what I can tell you is that in the U.S., capacity utilization is still at the same levels that it has or it was before the FDR, being able to allocate more volume than even that what we were expecting. So utilization rate and ramp up is going better than planned. That is as much as I can tell you about that.
Regarding your second question, Juan, what I can tell you, for strategic reasons I cannot tell you more, is that regarding our market share in the U.S., regarding the fiber cement division, we are going faster than the market on a double-digit basis. We are very optimistic about this business unit performing very, very well. And we expect it to keep on with this good track.
And do you have a sense of when potentially the market demand could help you restart that fiber cement plant? Do you still have a timeline for that or no?
Yes, as we speak, we're working on that. And we expect it to reopen it next year. First semester next year, we are already working on the putting everything together to reopen that facility, and hopefully we'll have good news for you in the near future. But it's performing with the plan that we have.
In other words, we remain committed to the original plan. So, as Fernando mentioned, we expect to give you good news very soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pedro Fabregat with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and congratulations on the results. I just wanted to ask you a little bit further on the market dynamics on fiber cement. I mean, apart from the impact on the hurricanes, I mean, is there a reason why the market is on a slowdown, or anything you can provide us a little bit more color on that? Thanks.
Thank you, Pedro. You refer to Mexico or to what market in specific?
In the U.S., sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Pedro, for your question. As you probably have seen, the new housing and new permit indexes has declined somehow from the previous month. Nevertheless, there is a growth when you compare it with the same month of the last year. So we see this as a slowdown, not as a decline. And also bear in mind that the basis of permits and starts is already at a very attractive level. So, probably this slowdown has to do with general economic conditions and all that is happening in the U.S. Our performance, nevertheless, in the U.S. for building systems, as Fernando mentioned, continues to be very positive, and we are growing faster than the market.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Santiago Taracena with Credit Suisse.
Hi, congrats on your results. I just have a question about the market dynamics of cement in Mexico. Can you tell us more about the pricing growth on a year-to-year basis?
Sure. Hello, Santiago. Thank you for your question. So, if you remember, in the first half of the year, the industry managed some price increases, so the trend from the previous year continued. That was not the case for this third quarter, and given the conditions that are prevailing so far, we don't see another increase during the year. So the difference or the increase in price that we mentioned comes from the increases actually done in the first half of the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Since that we have a follow-up question from Mauricio Serna with UBS.
Hi, thanks. Just one to do a quick follow-up question on the metals division. This one, you know, had a huge EBITDA margin contraction. So I was just wondering, in the medium term, what is the margin levels that you're aiming for this division, since it has been a little volatile lately? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for your question, Mauricio. So, as I mentioned, or as we mentioned, the division was impacted by fluctuations in both metal and FX rates at the beginning of the quarter, and that was also what affected or part of the impact on the division in the last quarter. By the end of this third quarter, this trend changed, and copper price and the relationship between Mexican peso and the U.S. dollar also increased. So these both trends or new trends are part of what we expect to continue during the fourth quarter. On top of that, during the third quarter, we saw lower volumes than usual, mainly because of these natural disasters that affected not only Mexico, but other countries that we sell to. We believe that volumes somehow will normalize, and that these changes in the trend of copper and FX will also improve our results for the fourth quarter and on. You have to also bear in mind that when we compare energy, electricity in specific, and gas prices to the previous year, we have had an impact of about 35% and 34% respectively. So that will continue, or we expect to continue, but the other trends will help improve results.
Okay, thank you. But I mean, just going back to the margins, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, 2-3 years ago, you were like 12-13%. And last year was 16%, and it seems this year you're going to be something around 14. So just wanted to get a sense, you know, are these like the levels that you're aiming, or, you know, could we see maybe going to high teens if you achieve this, if you continue doing this increasing focus on value-added products?
Mauricio, just let me clarify something. In this division, the margin doesn't make a lot of sense, because the way we price here is, the way we negotiate is with our clients is with the price of the copper plus X amount. So at the end of the day, our profitability, our profit is set on a gross basis. So the margin you're looking for, it depends 100% on the price of the copper. So that's why it varies a lot. So I wouldn't take a look at the margin per se. What I would take a look is at the gross profit of the business. That's the way you should look at it, because the margin doesn't tell you anything.
I don't know if I was clear.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. Mr. Fernando Ruiz?
Thank you, operator. So that wraps up the Q&A portion of today's call. So as you see, we take every change and challenge with great optimism, whether it is opening a new plant, a new office, or launching new products. Without question, 2017 has been a year with many challenges, yet our results are proof that Elementia has the right team, technologies, and competitive advantage to excel in the construction business. So we believe our momentum continues to be very strong and are ready to take advantage of it. So once again, thank you. Thank you all for your interest in our company. And if you have further questions, please do not hesitate to contact Juan Francisco, Anna, or myself. So have a nice rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.